Hello, and welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. This is your host, Alex Muir, helping you flex your mind, body, and soul. And in today's episode 55, we're going to be speaking with Dinesh Thepa. Episode 55 today. Happy to have you on the Mindset Podcast, and looking forward to Bros and Brewskis, this new series where I have friends, mentors, advisors, you know, former coworkers. This is going to be a new, fresh set of content because you know how it is. Life gets busy, but we got to keep those connections going.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So before we even start, let's clink. Let's cheers to our friendship.
Cheers, buddy.
I've known you since like 2012.
No, eh? It's been 10 years.
10 years, man. Cheers to our 10-year friendship. And I just have to say, nothing tastes better than a Dos Equis beer on a really smoking hot day in Canberra River.
Couldn't agree more, man.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
So it's been a long time coming. I know we've been trying to reconnect. It's been, you know, it's been a while. But one story that you told me last time we were chatting, which really stuck with me, which I want you to, I'm sure everyone on my audience and my listeners would be dying to hear about, because it's intense. It's an intense story. And not a lot of people hear about this, especially like you said, you know, Canadians or Americans or just in North America. It's like we have this blanket over North America and we stay within that blanket, or there's this giant Band-Aid. And then when you take it off, you're like, oh, the rest of the world is actually a little, you know, a little bit different, right? We don't know what the hell is going on. So
yeah, it's a hard topic to talk about in Canada. In the same time, it's like, you know, it's not a bad thing, but then again, like, everybody kind of sticks to that one blanket in one community where there could be, like, you know, 10 blankets where they're all under, like, a certain group under a certain blanket and a certain group that kind of stick together where, you know,
there's no community connection,
you know, kind of like, lack of community connections, right? And especially on this technology, age of technology, whatever you want to call it, it's definitely not a good way to live, in my opinion. We should have community support, and this community should always come together. It doesn't matter where they're from or what kind of lifestyle they actually live out there, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like this whole pandemic, it's really shed a lot of light on a lot of the issues in the world that have always been there, but no one's talked about them. And now, literally all at once, everything's being talked about, or a lot of things are being talked about that no one wants to talk about.
Yeah, it's because, you know, the community was already isolated as it was, but then when the pandemic actually hit, we were forced to isolate even more, right? Like, I mean, good on government trying not to spread that shit around, but hey, it wasn't good for people's mental health, you know? It's, yeah. I don't know what the government's going to do for trying to fix this problem where, you know, you can't just fucking hand money out. Hey, here's $1,000 a month for recovery money.
Yeah.
Money's not always a fix, and people should know that. You know?
Yeah.
Need other support.
So, going back to that story that you told me about when you're trying to play soccer, you're back in Nepal because you're originally from Nepal.
Right.
Tell me about that story. I'll briefly share with the audience. Or you want to go into it? All right, I'll let you go into it.
Okay. Okay, this story is, I don't even know where to begin. So basically, for people that are listening, I'm from Nepal. I moved here in 2005. And, you know, I was 22, 23 years old. And this life that I'm going to talk about is before my preteens, where I may have been around 7, 8, or 9. Where we used to go, like, the farmers would farm potatoes or, you know, wheat stuff. And once they harvest the, you know, wheat or potatoes or whatever, their crop, they would have to cure the land for about 6 weeks. In that period, we would go play soccer on their fields. They hate it because we would pack so much. It was impossible to, like, dig back out again, right? And back in the day, I mean, we're talking about Nepal, right? There's no machines. Everything's hand dug, right? So, anyway, the farmers were not very happy. But it retracted the story back to what was happening. We have this grapefruit. They're like the size of a football. We call it a soccer ball, right? We would play soccer with the grapefruit. And we talked about this fruit is probably like 5 pounds. 5 pounds. I don't know. I think my 8-year-old kid, can, do you really think that, fruit is capable? But you may not be able to strike, but you are able to learn how to play soccer. It's perfectly round.
Yeah.
You can dodge. You can learn all the tricks to
footwork and fundamentals. Yeah.
Hold that ball. It totally does help, for sure, yeah. So I think that's the story that you're getting at, right?
Yeah. Because I remember you saying, because I initially thought it wasn't grapefruit, it was watermelon.
No.
Not watermelon. No. Oh, okay, yeah.
Watermelon stuff,
yeah.
And plus, I don't remember having any watermelon where I grew up.
Yeah. But just that story, that just like hit me like a ton of bricks, like, as being a Canadian born and raised in Canada, you don't hear about that kind of stuff here.
No.
Like, right? Like the fact that you were in sports, you're playing with your buddies in the neighborhood, right? And then you had to go onto a farm to just find a piece of like a spot for you guys to play, right? Yeah. That, like you said, they didn't have machines, it was all hand paved, right? An hour and hours of labor.
Right.
And then the fact that you guys had to use grapefruit to play, right? Yeah. And then I think you said you guys didn't have shoes either. It was all barefoot, right?
I got my first pair of shoes when I was like 8, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, you have flip flops, right?
Like, right.
The expensive pair of shoes would be one of the festivals that happens around October where it's like Christmas, but a bit longer.
Because, like, one shoe that I've been obsessed with ever since I got it, ever since going to Hawaii, Sanuks. Yeah. You can see them right back there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're awesome. So Surfer made them. Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Those, I don't know if you remember, like they're like white shoes, literally white. There's like only three holes for like shoelaces. Three sets of holes.
Oh, okay.
Like, they almost look like a ballet.
Ballet shoes. I don't even know. Hey, if you were in ballet shoes shooting around with a soccer ball, you'd be really fast, right? Nice and light.
Exactly. I don't know. My foot would be like raw.
Not my foot would be
like completely raw from eating that thing.
Yeah.
Like I still remember the pain and stuff. And
yeah. Because I bet those grapefruits were not so soft. They're more like freaking kicking rocks, right? And then you come home with like bandaged up or battered and bruised feet.
Oh yeah, of course. But you know,
but you have to have your fun. You got to build your fun into the day, right? Yeah. So go ahead.
It's funny how you don't have technology, iPad on your face, or the phone on your hand, find all kinds of ways to entertain yourself. And that's just human nature, right? You've got to be entertained. You know, we've computers, TVs, you know, phones, smart that. But before that, we were still entertained. We were still happy.
Yeah.
We still had our day full of entertainment, sports, and stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is just the new era.
Yeah. What do you think about the whole hustle culture of, like, you know, working more is always better, or You know, oh, you gotta work, you know, 50, 60, 70 hour, 80 hour weeks to get ahead, to be the best, to move up in your career. What do you think about that?
I think it's a bunch of horse shit. It's basically,
you're just working for a scholarship or whatever, and they work as much as possible
so they can maximize their profit, right? At the end of the day, it's not really, you don't win regardless. You may have more money in your pocket, but you don't have enough time to spend that money anyway. So I don't see how advancement in your career or your life. And I don't see how that's relevant at all.
Yeah.
What the government or should try to figure out is to ask the people that are working, say, what would you prepare rather than, you know, here, you work like five extra hours, I might get a million, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, they're trying to.
The thing is, for me, say you work like standard 8 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
And your boss says, okay, how about you put like 9 hours for like, I don't know, 6 months, like half hour extra. And so I can probably hand you the promotion, right? Because he's going to leave and you're going to step onto it.
Yeah.
But that's the negotiation. The guy wants you to work extra, right? And he may pay you, but instead of like negotiating, why wouldn't you approach, like, hey, you know, ask what kind of training to get that promotion, you know, instead of working extra hours, make you proactive position before he's trying to get you to
work extra time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like nothing's productive these days. Everything's backwards. They give you the promotion, yet they don't prep you for it. Hey, here's the promotion, man. You work extra hard for it, but you're working while you were, I don't know what we call it, like, your position.
It's not relevant to the new position because
now you have a new role.
A new set of skills you got to learn. Yeah.
I would say, like, he would, if there was a promotion coming up, you know, if
the companies or the bosses are smart, they would actually prep this guy to handle the job so that there's no rushback when he does get the job or, you know, when he does get the job.
So that they can actually start doing profitable tasks, right?
I think I get what you're putting down because basically what you're saying is like a lot of people get into these they get promotions or they get into these new roles and they've got that promotion into a new role from their old role but they didn't grow into it because they were doing so well they just got groomed to get into that role but they don't necessarily have those new networking skills or the new training they haven't even gotten to that point yet. So sometimes it's like we're jumping the gun too early. We could have been preparing in a different way to get to that next level. Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Because really, what it comes down to, I think, is the stuff you're doing outside of work. Are you still educating yourself? Are you listening to those podcasts? Are you reading those books?
Right.
I still feel deep down, not everyone is wired to do a college education. I went to college. Still cost a lot of money, and I didn't do it with a full degree. But I think college is a catalyst for learning how to network, learning how to create relationships. I used college for that because it helped me get into banking because they had all these employee job fairs where they'd have recruiters there. It's a great opportunity to meet people, right?
You got to use that kind of learning environment
because there's I felt like I had way less fear of failure. In that environment, because it's cultivated for learning, right? So if you mess up or you didn't know how to do negotiating or all that kind of stuff, right? If you want a really good job, that's where I learned all my persuasion, negotiation, learning how to connect with people. It was all in college, right? It wasn't about the education. It was all about educating yourself about relationship building.
Right. Yeah.
And,
no, it's fair. Yeah, I think you're right.
You don't necessarily need a formal education in my like. You can read books. Like, I don't know if you've seen that movie, Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, right?
Yeah.
He's like, remember when he's having that conversation with the other actor, and the guy's like, you know, he's being condescending and arrogant, and he's got all these degrees. And then Matt Damon's like, oh, you just spent $100,000 on a stupid education when you could have got for $1.50 in the used bookstore. Or the library. Public library, right? There's a wealth of knowledge in there. And I'm not knocking the typical education system.
No, but I think,
you know what I mean?
There's I totally understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Your practical skills to learn through books or doing stuff versus going to college and spending money and having a loan to pay that off.
Yeah.
A lot different. You're right.
Yeah.
There's two ways of doing it.
Yeah.
But these days, like, you know, you go, say, for example, you and I are working the same position at CCIB, right?
Yeah.
So now we're a teller, for example. And there's a shift manager position available. Now, I have 5 years experience. You have 2 years experience in the role. You have a college degree, business degree through college. I don't. I just have a high school. But I know way more stuff than you do.
You know the role. You know
yeah,
the.
I've seen it. I've done it. You know, like I've done it
inside
well.
And out.
You know, I've seen it. You know, the system will never promote the person that is actually talented. They will always give them to that piece of paper that they pay.
Designation, yeah.
They spend $100,000 on this business degree and they have this piece of paper on the wall saying, you know, so-and-so, this is to certify so-and-so that they did it.
That they got their degree, yeah. Yeah,
and we don't even know
paper
what
proof. Yeah,
yeah, it's paper, piece of paper.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I still think
that goes a long way, right? Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Because,
so,
yeah,
believe it or not, A is paper and what matters. Nothing else matters.
Well,
as school said, it's very rarely that they will get a job to believe actually done it.
Yeah, I still feel from what I've seen. When people do get promoted in their roles, or if you're comparing two people with, you know, similar experience but not exact same experience,
yeah,
the person who has both the longevity with the experience, like you said,
but well,
they've
yeah.
also but they've also got the education. Yeah. You're right; they will be ahead, but they got to have both. If someone who's got a college education doesn't have as much experience as you do, even if you have a high school diploma, I still don't think they're going to get the role. Or the promotion,
no.
because you know the role inside and out. You know the environment. You know the people. You know how to, right? Just because you don't have a degree, I still don't think you'd get groomed for that next role.
Yeah, I think it depends where you work.
Then the person that has it, because number one, you got the experience. But it's just if you have not only the experience, but also you have those extra credentials, right?
Right.
Just gives you that extra cherry on the top.
Yeah.
Not mandatory. But,
you're totally right. Yeah. But it comes down to if you don't have a paper and you have experience.
If you have neither, it's going to be a lot harder. Yeah.
They'll go into like, here. You may be qualified, but you don't have proof to be qualified.
Right, right. So they need that paper proof for qualified.
It's totally.
Yeah. I hear you.
But, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of people out there, very potential people with a lot of potential.
They get overlooked. They get overlooked because today we base so much emphasis on education,
yeah,
and not enough emphasis on experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So that needs to change. Sure. Like, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel there's a lot of potential being left on the table? Or a lot of people with potential being left on the table that are being overlooked?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of factor into that kind of stuff, man. But I don't know if I want to go into the depth of employment, work stuff. Maybe should you go into something positive?
Yeah. I just have to write this down in my notes. Like, this is some good stuff, right? Because I know the listeners, like people that are listening to this right now, like I know like some of these topics have crossed their mind because
they already know. Yeah.
Yeah. What the pandemic has brought up, like I mentioned, ripping off the Band-Aid or tearing off the Band-Aid, it's literally opened up all these topics that people have been thinking about, but they haven't said anything about. But now they're the last few years, it's all been brought to the surface. People have been talking about it, thinking about it. So, you know, it's good to talk about, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. But on another note...
And this episode is brought to you by RadioGuestList.com, the number one free radio guest, podcast, and talk show guest expert interview booking service on the internet.
Disclaimer. All information provided by Alex Muir is of general nature and is spoken from Alex Muir's and his guests' personal experiences and personal opinions on the topics related to fitness, health, and education only. No information is to be taken as medical or other health advice pertaining to any specific health or medical condition. You agree that use of this information is at your own risk and hold Alex Muir harmless from any and all losses, liabilities, injuries, or damages resulting from any and all claims.
Like you said, a more positive note. I still feel that there's still lots of opportunity. There's abundant opportunity. In fact, there might be too much opportunity.
Actually, this is probably the worst I've ever seen. labor is unreal right now, bro. No one can find people to work.
Yeah. High availability, like supply of jobs, but no one to fill them though this time around.
Yeah, exactly. So we almost have 8 billion people on the planet.
I know.
You know, like you know how many people the Earth can actually sustain?
I don't know.
10 billion. You know what? When that's gonna happen? The prediction: 2050.
Whoa!
At max. In the next 25 years.
2 billion in the next?
2 more billion.
Oh, whoa, yeah. Because we're sitting at around 8 right now.
Yeah. Just under 8 right now.
Damn.
So, in... Okay, what is it? 22 now? So...
8 years, 2030. Or no, 2050, you said. Yeah. 28 years, yeah.
28 years.
Yeah.
In 28 years, the Earth will be full.
The which? Oh, the Earth. Max capacity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With humans.
Yeah.
And you know how many pandemics that's probably gonna be?
More ice. Yeah.
So we need to do something about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think that's there's gonna be another ice age again?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, there will be another pandemic.
There will be another ice age.
There will be the Earth recycles itself, right? Like, that's the only way to do it. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
This is nature. Nature is very strong.
Now,
you know,
I know we're getting off on tangents, but it's fun to do because we haven't connected in a while. So, right, we're going to be all over the place in this interview. So, but one thing I want to mention is with the Mindset brand, the Mindset podcast, what my goal is, what my dream is for it is to create better human beings for the future, right?
Okay.
Having people on dynamic backgrounds, from backgrounds like from all over the globe.
Right.
Because people need to know that you need varied perspective. Right. In order to truly feel fulfilled, feel like the glass is half full, despite in an environment where there's so much going on, so much stuff that can be scary, can be make you nervous, make you anxious, that by yielding the wisdom from the people that you interact with, right, from all over the globe, it'll give you the best chance of achieving fulfillment, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I feel like my glass is always half full when I get to interact with people, have those connections, build those connections, right? Storytelling, like have my guests tell their stories. It's the funnest part of doing this show.
Makes sense, yeah. This is why you asked me to tell you that football story,
right? Like who would If we didn't have that conversation, right? Like, it never, would never come up, right? Because you got to know, you got to ask.
There's always a new norm somewhere in the world.
Yeah,
and that's okay to talk about it.
Yeah. Again, as long as you're comfortable with talking about it, because again, a lot of people they go through different stuff, and that can be really painful to talk about, right?
Yeah. For me, life is life, man. It happens. You just move on.
You just roll with it, right?
I can't say that I was happy kicking that shit around. Buddy and I used to fight over it. Because somebody's got a bench. We only have 11 people on the field, right?
Yeah.
So there'll be like 20 kids. And who's gonna make that decision? So there'll be fight over it.
Right. Fight for the starting position, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the strong win, and they'll go. And then the weak one will never get a chance to play. It's shitty. But that's part of
Kingdom. Yeah, life lesson.
I guess so, but I haven't heard of this, animal kingdom where the female will only mate with a bull that's just fought and fight.
Yeah,
and actually, not just a female, all females in the tribe.
Yeah. Animal kingdom, yeah, because once they see a male that's fought for survival against another male,
well, it's
future genes, exactly. They're not gonna go from the beat up line that got his butt kicked.
No, there's a logic, there's a system behind it, right? But like, you know, but what I'm saying is like, that was like my life as a human being. That's the way it goes.
Human beings can go through. I was just listening to it on a podcast earlier. Like, some people have gone through tremendous hardship and pain. Because they've gone through tremendous hardship and pain, it's better equipped them and better prepared them for life's hard lessons. And life lessons aren't always hard, but along the way, there will be some hard lessons to learn.
Yeah, the way I look at life is, every day you're gonna make a mistake. Every day of your life, there's just some kind of mistake you're gonna make, and the better outcome is that you learn from that. You know, every day you're gonna make the same mistake. You're gonna make a mistake, some sort of mistake, but you're gonna correct it, and you're gonna be a better person every day that you live, because you made that mistake yesterday, and you're gonna repeat that next day, right? And our life is very funny. Today is not going to be the same as tomorrow.
Yeah. Today
is not the same as yesterday, right?
Yeah. It's always different.
Right? You wake up, you don't know what's going to happen. You just go with it, right?
Yeah.
So it's good.
And so let's take a full go left field. And let's talk about. What are some of the mindset podcast is also about how can we develop a better, sharper mind, or what are some of the things that you personally do on a daily basis that, like, you wake up, right? I know you go to bed early, you wake up early because that's, you know, because you got to work earlier. You got to work 7 to 3, right? Or 6 to 2?
7 to 3:30.
7 to 3, right? Yeah. So what are some of the things that you do? Because I know you got two kids. Yeah, you're a busy man.
And I go to bed now. I start off going to bed earlier. I make sure that we stay in the routine with the kids, so they eat dinner before 6 o'clock every day, and you know, get the house cleaned up by 7 or 8 o'clock, and you know, do some chores and go to bed. There's not much time left in the evening, and in the morning, if you don't have enough hours of sleep, I have to run equipment and stuff sometimes, right? So I gotta have my full focus at work. I'm gonna make mistakes. That's not going to be pretty.
So you would say your biggest advantage each day, every day is getting a good night's sleep is like your best advice.
I would say so, because if you get just about right amount of sleep, your mind's going to be a lot sharper, and you know, your body needs to rest. If it's like, if you're sleep deprived, your mind's deprived, and you can't think straight. And then you can't make those critical decisions, right?
Yeah.
At least for me, it's hard for me to make a critical decision if I'm entire week.
There's nothing worse than sleep deprived decision making.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Because
I know you like to work out too, and I know you got another buddy, Alex, that you work out in his basement or in his garage, right?
Garage, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. I try working out two or three times a week at least.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I make sure I lift. I do my bench press on like 10 set of 10s at least three times a week. Yeah. Basically, I try to eat healthy. That work out, you know. I do like boosts.
Yeah, we at the beginning of the podcast we clinked Dos Equis beer, absolutely delicious, especially on a hot summer's day in Canberra River at 30 degrees Celsius.
Need time to refill.
Yeah, hold on. We're this podcast on pause for a second. Dinesh is gonna say, "I'm gonna go and get him another beer for the doggo right now because it's scorching hot." So. No walks till later, till at least like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I took him for one earlier, but I was afraid he was gonna burn his paws, so I was just like,
"Go to Beaverlands."
What's that?
Beaverlands.
Oh yeah.
If you go there, it's shady in there.
Beaver Lodge. Yeah. Lots of shade.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
But for your going back to your training regime, so you said you lift about 2 to 3 times a week. For your bench press and all that, what are your do you know your lifts? Are you tracking your lifts or what's your weights at right now?
I actually haven't tracked my weight.
Oh yeah, no, you just do high reps or?
Yeah, 10 reps. 10 reps. 10 set of 10 reps.
10 sets of 10 reps.
Yeah, I usually lift 100 dips.
Holy moly! Okay, so that's like the workout is very. It's like so if you're doing bench, that's all you're doing is bench.
On my chest. Because I work out every day.
Mm-hmm. I always the chest.
Because you got the mail. And I do some the rolling machine or whatever it's called.
Rowing machine.
Yeah, it does abs.
Oh yeah, the rowing machine.
Yeah,
that's solid. Yeah.
I do that for or I do the same 10 and 10 and 140 pounds or whatever. I noticed that I don't eat as much as I used to. I noticed that as soon as I turn 40, it's just like my appetite.
Suppressed?
Half the size.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not that I'm like, not that I don't get hungry, but my stomach is shrunk for some reason.
Honestly.
It's so much smaller.
Yeah. Weird. It's the metabolism, man. One goes down 1% per year after age 30. So I'm not 30 yet, but I've noticed a huge shift in my eating patterns too. Like, remember how I was telling you I was doing the fasting for a bit?
Right.
Like, I'm probably going to go back to that. I naturally fast more in the summer just because some days are so hot, you just don't have an appetite. It's just like, you're just like, your energy is like zapped, right?
Yeah, I was doing that 16-hour fast for a month. And it didn't really help me all that much.
Yeah. It doesn't work for everyone. Like I know the efficacy of the studies and all that. Yeah, they say it is. It can work.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
And I honestly think like it's better to do kind of like a Mediterranean style diet, right? Chicken, fish, turkey, lots of greens.
Right.
Right. And then just a little bit of carbs. That's the biggest thing that people get tripped up by is like, if you not everyone can do too much carbs. I can't do a lot of carbs. Like I feel bloated when I eat too much carbs.
Right.
So
I can take a lot of carbs. It doesn't affect me, but I feel guilty for eating it.
Right. Yeah. So, fair enough.
Like you know, like every now and then, if I make a steak or whatever,
I like to take baked potato with steak,
and I bake it. Baked potato, you know.
You would eat the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to eat the whole potato, right? Like, like a half potato.
Yeah.
But if it's baked potato, I'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm guilty about it.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, yeah, like you got to find what you like, right? You want to stick to what you like to eat as long as it's like whole food, it's healthy, right? Yeah. And you and Chelsea, you guys got a wicked garden.
Yeah, I know. It's very. I'm very fortunate to have a wife like that for sure. She grows everything on the backyard. Most things that we need. And yeah.
Yeah. And again, if you're local in the area, Dinesh has a nice garden and he's got chickens.
Oh no, I got it.
Oh, you don't know more chickens?
Yeah, it was too much work.
Oh yeah, no. I bet it's a ton of work.
We have guinea pigs. You're more than welcome to eat it.
Guinea pigs. Yeah, no. I don't think we're eating guinea pig.
Well, I mean, no. I don't necessarily want them in the house. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. I think people would want to adopt them for a pet before they want to eat them tonight.
Dude, the way I grew up, any moving animal,
except a cow, is meaning to me. I mean, not dogs, cats.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, say, goat, deer, moose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even,
yeah.
Any wild animal, like, it's
yeah, yeah. Well, you grew up in that environment, right?
It's
to a certain degree, it's, yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying, hey, let's kill it and eat it right now.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like North American lifestyle. I would probably say like 50-50.
Yeah, yeah. How would you say life in Nepal was compared to life in Canada?
Life in Nepal is very, very simple. Like, anyway, when I was there, it was very, very simple. You wake up, you have a cup of tea, even when you're like 7 years old, your mom will give you a cup of tea. You know, helps you wake up or whatever. I mean, getting caffeine, I guess. everybody gets it too. Like, anyway, in my family, everyone got it. Like, my mom would bring it right to our night table, you know, like right beside the bed, if there was my night table. I don't think I had my table, but yeah. Right beside the bed, and she would wake you up and give you tea, and you had to drink it. If you didn't, it would get cold and it would be nasty. So, we'd have black tea for milk, right? So we'd wake up, have that tea. First thing, brush your teeth, wash your face, get ready for school. That'd be your first task.
And then after that, then you have your tea, black tea.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Right. That happened way before anything else
happened. Oh, okay.
My mom did used to say, like, don't tell anybody that you drank before you wash your face. But, you know. Mom's always
so very, very specific, distinct routine.
Routine,
yeah. Morning, especially morning routine, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have to go on Saturdays. There was no school, so we had to go to the temple. And that's every Saturday. I think my mom and me worshiped every morning, because we were. I grew up as a Hindu kid, right? So there's like bells, whistles, like one of those. Shell that you blow on it, and it's like a wood.
Oh, it made that wicked like yak, yeah. The yak sound of noise or whatever. Yeah, yeah. The horn. Yeah,
it sounds like boo. I can't
it's like a giant moo from a cow, but it's it's got a really. I know what you mean.
Really high and low notes on those things. Anyway, I had to do that. Yeah, and then come back from school. So moment you come back from school, you had like goats. So we had to take the goats out on the
field. Excuse me. You know, they can get.
Did we lose the audio? Or did I get disconnected?
I don't know.
Oh, there we go. We're good. Yeah.
And yeah. So, and then we would do that for like a couple of hours, come home and help mom prep dinner or whatever. If she was. Play marble, you know. Have you ever played marble?
Marbles? Yeah. No.
Dude, you're way too young.
Hold on. Just as I was coming into second grade,
yeah,
that's when they were starting to. The marbles were like very popular, and then we started getting into Beyblades and Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon. Oh. And so the timing.
Technology.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you started seeing.
Yeah, Beyblade. Oh, I remember playing.
Right, Beyblade. They had the arenas, or you wouldn't even need an arena. Like some of them had arenas, you'd get the actual Beyblade arenas, and then you go.
Yeah, I totally remember playing Beyblade. Yeah. But Beyblade and Apollo, like, you had to spin with your fingers.
Oh. There's Yeah. Because you had, they had the wind-up Beyblades, and then they had the ones where it would, yeah.
So I had to twist it with the whoever had the lungs or anything would But we would play Beyblade and Marble. So you just pull the Marble. And then you spin that. Whatever your bet was, say, if mine lasts longer, I give you gotta give me five of your marbles. And if it goes, I'll give you five.
Okay. So it's like kind of like a betting game.
Yeah.
Of marbles, yeah.
People teaching kids how to gamble in a way. That's okay. Light lesson. It's good.
Yeah.
My childhood was. Very rough.
But then it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun because I did martial art when I was a kid because, I don't know. It was hard for me to get along with a lot of people when I was a kid. Because our father died really young. It's. Like the fathers are usually the protector of the house, right? So they used to protect the children and the mothers and everybody. But then we kind of got neglected from other kids because they kind of felt like we were the weak people, right? So we would always fight. Just win your place. That's how I earned my... A lot of my friendships actually came up, but it's not even... It's weird.
That's that... That can be the way it goes, actually, though. Like, sometimes when you've had disagreements or, you've had fights and stuff, a lot of times, yes. In some, not every case, but in some cases, you'll wind up friends with those people.
Yeah. Some held grudges, some didn't. Some became really good friends. And some probably still don't care about me. But you know what I mean? I didn't take it personally.
No. Yeah.
Personally, I didn't take it personally. I just wanted to... earn my place.
Earn your respect that you wanted. Yeah.
If you're not gonna give me respect, let's go fight and see who wins. I don't know. It sounds all dumb, but
no. Like that's how you grew up. That's what you were, right? That's part of your life's journey.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Something even it went up to the teachers. Which is sad. Because I was a kid. And
disagreement with teachers and stuff in the classroom environment.
And I was like, let's go argue. You want to argue?
Be here. Let's do it.
It was kind of rough. Now it's like flashing back to me, like a lot of things. Like now that we're talking about it, because I don't really usually talk about my childhood or my life that I left behind in Nepal all that often.
I would say I almost never talk about it.
But. Makes you stronger when you do, or that it makes you stronger when you feel like you're in an environment that you're comfortable to bring it up. Because vulnerability is like one of the strongest things that a person can do. Being a little bit more vulnerable, right?
Oh yeah.
Showing that you're not invincible.
No one is.
I don't care who. We're talking about, like, you can be the most successful person on the planet, but you should
have a limitation on your vulnerability, but you shouldn't cap your vulnerability.
No, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to shield all your vulnerability, but you want to be able to be comfortable to bring up a little bit here and there, and to the point where you're quite comfortable with talking about it, because it'll build a suit of armor.
Yeah. I'm introvert person, but I come off as extrovert.
Yeah. An extrovert introvert.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm introvert, but I come off extrovert.
Very
fast. But if you really pay attention, I'm... I don't understand. I go... If I meet somebody, I talk about it, like, maybe one or two beats and stuff, and then I start talking personal stuff. But then
a few months down the road, I somehow kind of stop all that personal stuff again.
You put up a wall.
Lock.
Yeah.
And I think I still haven't figured out why.
Yeah.
It's
It's weird.
It's part, everyone's got their own thresholds, emotional thresholds, right? Where you might get to a certain extent in a friendship or a relationship, and then you can't get to that next level because there's something that's
inside your brain that doesn't want you to, right? Like,
yeah, so you don't.
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
It's like, shit's awkward. And then I'm just like, what's happening, you know? Stuff like that. Anyway. And I always thought it's because of
how I raised it, you know? Because I pool fight all the time. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. It's like you're in the wild. You're trying to defend yourself. You're trying to earn your respect. And
exactly.
Yeah. And then as soon as you don't have to do that anymore, you feel... That's where the wall might come from, is because you feel you always have to defend yourself. Yeah. And now when you're an adult, you get to be an adult. That instinct, that defensive mindset, is still there. It's a bit of a chip on your shoulder. I used to have it as well, and to a certain extent, I still have a bit of a chip on my shoulder. But it's gotten a lot better because I've learned to talk about it.
Right,
in different ways.
Actually, this is the first time I've ever talked about this stuff. I don't even think my wife knows.
This is like therapeutic. Yeah. It allows you to incremental doses of opening up a little bit, right? Yeah, but in a comfortable way, right?
Yeah. But for I know for a fact opening up is actually good for your mind.
It is. Yeah.
Good for your soul.
Yeah. One last question before we end this episode, because we got a lot of good content in this episode today. Last question. I know it's not necessarily just in Nepal, but meditation is something that I came across 4 or 5 years ago. And it's because I'm a person that can be littered with anxiety. And like yourself, I'm an extroverted introvert. Believe it or not, as much as I talk, I started off.
I think there's a reason why you and I are the only one who are friends from that.
Yeah.
Because we're so similar in a way, right? Like,
yeah. Different backgrounds, but we went through certain things that had commonalities to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a level of understanding there.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
right?
When I met you, I was like, you know what? This guy's cool. You know, it's good shit. I'm gonna hold on to this guy, you know.
Yeah.
I met a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And I didn't care a lot today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because they weren't really
real.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say that.
My brain just put a wall in front of me, right when I met them. Right?
Yeah.
And when I met you, it was
completely different.
I was already working when you joined us, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, Alex, okay. So we're talking about all this shit that happened.
yeah.
Like 10, 12 years ago. Oh, shit, that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. It's crazy. Time flies, man. Yeah. And the coolest part about all this is me and Dinesh have known 10 or 12 years. Yeah. We still stay connected.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah, right? We might not have been talking every single day.
Yeah, no.
But that goes to show that real friendships, ladies and gentlemen, are built over time, but just find a way to stay connected. Phone call, coffee, whether that be virtual or in person.
Yes, text every now and then.
Yeah.
To someone.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
Thinking about it. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Like,
he may not reply for 2 or 3 days, but he'll leave a reply.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super important. When you meet good people in your life, you want to stay connected with those people, however you can, right? Whether you got kids or you got pets or life does get busy, but at the end of the day, you wanna stay connected with those people.
Yeah,
but we digress. So going back to growing up in Nepal, you're talking about your routine. One last thing before I let you go. Did you do any sort of daily meditation? I know it sounds like you did prayer, but did you do specific like meditation?
So meditation as a term, the Western term, and then the original term. The monks who invented, as far as I'm concerned,
I think the Tibetan monks invented meditation.
Yeah.
And to be peaceful, you know, to control your mind. Because we can control our body, you know.
When you say your arms up, you can always put it down.
You can control it. You can't control your mind.
No.
Meditation is a tool that you can control your mind.
What's the word I'm looking for? To condition your brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to condition your mind to be able to be 100%.
And I think that's what meditation is.
So, like, personally, for me,
I only did meditation
for about 2 weeks in the fall.
That was
through a course. But throughout life, we do meditation because
we have morning.
How do you say it?
Morning in the morning, every day. You know, like staying quiet for X amount of seconds and stuff.
Right.
That's a tiny bit of meditation. And it happens every single morning. You close your eyes, focus on one thing, mostly, you know, prayers, whatever. But you just focus on that. And then lasting 15, 20 seconds. And it's really done, it goes a long way. You close your eyes, do namaste, put your head down, and just focus on one thing. Just one thing.
Yeah.
Just because our brain is very scattered, right? So when you focus on one thing, your brain lets go of all the other things that's happening.
Yeah.
So that it
conditions you to think.
Conditions thinking.
Yeah. Conditions your thinking, but also like helps you come back to the present.
Yeah, I'm no by any means, I'm no meditation expert or anything, but that's an experience. You know, like it goes a long way when you have that peace, even just 20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because, yeah, like for myself, I started doing it about 4 years ago, almost five now, but I started with 3 minutes a day.
Okay.
Because I can get very distracted.
Right. Yeah.
By my thoughts, like there can be like a thought that just comes up, and then I can't get it out. So meditation was my way of getting centered again, recentering the mind. Like you said, focusing on one thing. So I went from 3 minutes a day. That was over like 2 years, and then I got up to five.
Yeah.
In 3 years, and then.
I hope you enjoyed that special guest series episode brought to you by RadioGuestList.com. If you enjoyed this podcast interview with myself and my guests, and you'd like to give me some feedback, please do so by leaving a short review on Apple Podcasts under Mindcep Podcast. That's MINDCEP, the Mindcep Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'll be happy to hear your feedback. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can do so as well on social media or on my blog. That's Alexander Muir, Alexander Muir, M as in Mike, UIR.com. And thank you for listening, and see y'all next time.